fighting for America.
Education should be the number one priority in this state. If we want to improve our economy, if we want to improve our wages, if we want to improve our outcomes for kids.
Fighting for Idaho.
The sexiest thing in the entire world is being really smart. And being thoughtful. And being generous.
Fighting for you.
We just ask our teachers to know the kids as best they can as individuals and then provide the best individual education for every student.
My life at school, it's very challenging, but I choose to accept that challenge.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. It is a little after 6. Kevin Miller in the morning, 6:05 at 580 KIDO. Don't forget the Tway Travel ticket giveaway, your chance to go to, well, anywhere you want in America, just simply by, entering to win. All you have to do is listen at 7:20. I will give you the city of choice, log into our loyalty club program, and then I'll give you a second chance to win today, or a second chance to qualify, and we will be giving away that grand prize drawing to tickets to anywhere in the continental United States and a couple places everywhere else. Look, you need to go to the specifics. Go to 580kido.com. Coming up, we'll have the latest on Canada, the violence there. Certainly, folks, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Canada. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the people in Denver. Here we are in the schools in the Treasure Valley, in the city of Boise, and we have those young women who apparently now, according to Fox News, were swindled, bamboozled, not radicalized, so I suppose that's good news, with predators from ISIS, and they'd gotten all the way to Germany. And apparently, I guess they found out because they were tweeting, they were apprehended before they had gone all the way over, but American kids being targeted by these folks just shows you what a deadly world we live in. And, you know, the big question we all have, and we don't want to say it, but we will now, you know, are we next? So we will talk about that coming up. Dr. Holly McLean joining us here. She is the principal of the Treasure Valley Math and Science Center and River Glen Junior High. Boy, two schools for the price of one. Good morning.
Good morning. So,
good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about, it's very unusual that we go to two schools in one facility.
It is. Treasure Valley Math and Science Center is a magnet school program within Boise School District, and we are housed within River Glen Junior High. And we serve students from all across the valley, amazing students. They come in to...
I don't think you'd say you'd serve bad students, though. No, that'd be interesting if one day we just had somebody, we have bad this, bad that, and the kids are bad, bad.
We have great students. Yes. Yeah. They come in from all across the valley. This is a school of choice, so sure, they choose to be here, which is really nice for them because they're with like-minded students who want to have an opportunity to work hard and deeply explore the areas of math, science, technology, and research.
Well, we hear so much about that. What type of math and science and research are being taught here? Because we always hear the propaganda, oh, American kids aren't into it. And I go, look, I'm in the schools. I disagree with that. There's kids that are gifted in math and science and the technology. It's good that they have a place to go where they can harness those skills for, moving on.
Very true. And the Math and Science Center is actually unique in the nation in that once the students are ready for algebra, they're able to come into the program. And some of the students that come in here are even 8, 9 years of age. This is very unusual, of course.
Or 9 years of age.
Yes, doing courses that will go on to a high school transcript. So, again,
when do you ever get to be a kid?
Well, they have fun in what they're doing. About how we approach it.
Yeah, it's not work to them.
It really does. Mm. And it's a safe place for them to be able to move ahead and explore the subjects that they're really interested in, even though they're younger than typical age for going into those courses.
Right. What are some of the technology things that are being taught here?
Well, it's really the practical use of technology in the process of doing research in math and science fields. So here's your computer class. These are the tools that we use as young scientists and mathematicians.
Right. It's amazing now they have degrees, and it's just not new. Several schools have been doing this for, what, five or maybe even a little longer, where we have degrees in video games. We have degrees in video animation. We have, you know, degrees in app making and such. And,
right.
You know, how prevalent was that, you know, all these years ago? Keeping up with that must be a challenge, the ever-evolving world of education.
And we do, in fact, teach programming classes here, and algorithms and game design is one of the courses we offer. It's a matter
at a public school.
At a public school,
wow.
Free of charge to students who attend. And it's all about staffing. You get the right teachers with the right kids doing the high-quality curriculum, and you take the lid off the pot and let it boil. And everyone in our community benefits from this because these students go on to be leaders in their fields in the future.
Well, and we definitely need to hear more about that. We, you know, all we're hearing about is the negative. What about River Glen? Tell us about your other job here.
Well, River Glen is Sandy Winters. She'll be speaking a little later as the principal of the River Glen.
Right. Two schools in one facility, though. That's a challenge.
This has been a wonderful opportunity for our students to be embedded in junior high school, even though the Math and Science Center is a 712. At the junior high level, some of the students open enroll into River Glen, and everyone benefits. It's actually been a really nice partnership all along, and it's very cost effective. We use 9 classrooms from within River Glen, and we're able to serve 400 students in providing very specialized curriculum in a reasonable context.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Anything else you'd like to share with us today? I know you want to hang out with us all morning long because we're such happy guys.
Well, I'd like to thank the businesses in the Treasure Valley and Higher Ed for their ongoing support for the Treasure Valley Math and Science Center and for Boise School District and the public school system. We are so lucky to benefit from the level of support that we have in this community. And your organization is one that's a good example of that, providing a window on public education to the community.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, you know, and you're right. It's people that that don't get the headlines that make a difference. And, you know, we have this big controversy about tiered teaching certifications going on. And a lot of people see that and they go, But you still have to have the kids in the classroom. You still have to, you know, pass the test. We still have to graduate kids that are going to make a difference. And it's nice to see that that is going on. And, you know, it's our pleasure to be here to highlight folks like yourself and the people we'll be talking to today.
Well, thank you. We're very pleased to welcome you into our schools and so thankful that you are showing an interest in our schools.
Well, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, it is 6:13. Dr. Holly McLean with us here at 580KIDO. Thank you, ma'am. Great job. You're free to go. Kevin Miller in the morning. This has to be the top national and international story, moving Ebola off the front pages. By the way, it appears to be that the NBC cameraman, I don't know, I think it's the first nurse, not to be confused with the second nurse. Oh, do we have a scorecard? Is now Ebola free, at least that's what the government says. But now we have the situation in Canada. Let's get the details now. And again, we always pride ourselves here at 580KIDO of giving you an opportunity to voice your opinion at 580-5436, 580KIDO. But, you know, we want to make sure that you're voicing it about the news of the day. So let's get the very latest. Here's our own Steve Taylor. All right, we'll get back to Steve Taylor in a minute here at 580KIDO. Let's try that again. Nope, not happening. All right, move on here. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And you take a look at Canada. You take a look at the country of Canada, and you take a look at they're not involved in these actions. They're not at the forefront like the United States of America. They're not one of these countries that are, you know, on the front pages like we are. And yet now we have this attack. And coupled with the attack, and this is something that we've never seen before, folks, where we have social media being used to solicit young children from their homes in Denver, Colorado, 15, 16-year-old girls. Now, apparently they were of Somali immigration, Somali descent. That's what the publisher reports will say. And being lured online. We're not talking about being radicalized. We're talking about being lured online to come over and marry ISIS people. Now, why in the world would anybody want to do that? Why in the world would anybody want to leave the United States of America and go to Syria? We'll have much more on that. And like I said, here we are at River Glen Junior High, Treasure Valley Math and Science Center, courtesy of our great friends at CapEd Credit Union. And we're so blessed to live in Idaho. And we're so blessed to live in a community where we look out for one another. But something's going on here. Here you have this jabroni from Chicago or Minnesota who decides that he wants to go fight for ISIS. Then you have the violence in Canada because somebody has a problem with the Canadians. You have the goof that, thank goodness for the White House German Shepherds, tackled him this time. Another White House jumper, if you will, trying to get into the White House. And coming up, we'll tell you about the shenanigans of Vladimir Putin. Yes, that's right. Putin's up to no good. We'll share that with you. By the way, your thoughts on education and why Mitt Romney's here. Does it make a difference to you? A lot going on this morning, live from River Glen Junior High and the Treasure Valley Math and Science Center. Kevin Miller in the morning, promoting our schools, proudly promoting our schools here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers. Now, from River Glen Junior High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
622, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's see if we can get to the Steve Taylor clip now.
Securing America.
This time it was Canada's war memorial and an assassinated honor guard. Does that mean a threat to guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington Cemetery and that gunfire in the Canadian Parliament? Might that be coming to the U.S. Capitol? American officials say there's no specific reason to think events in Canada pose a threat to the U.S., but security has been raised in some federal installations, including the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. In Washington, Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio.
There we have it. And, you know, is that the appropriate spin that you want to hear from your government? Not even saying the administration, but from your government, my friends. You know, those of you that have traveled to Washington or have seen the beautiful tomb, the majestic tomb of the unknown soldiers, where we have the strapping young folks of the old guard who are there, who 365 days a year, through rain, through sleet, through anything else, are there to protect the nation's unknown soldiers. Could that happen? Folks, I think we're dealing with an enemy that has, as I've said many times in the past here at 580KIDO, not one ounce of respect for our way of life. And rules of warfare, rules of anything else, do not apply to these people. They are, in fact, here to destroy us. Now, we've got the air bombings going on. How would you react if all of a sudden there was an attack here on our soil? I mean, that's what the story's about. If it can happen to Canada, can it happen here? And to further Steve Taylor's point, do you believe that we are ready as a nation to defend ourselves? Troubling thoughts here, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the folks in Canada. And I still have to think it's an issue involving something missing in somebody's childhood, perhaps somebody, you know, having an issue when we're taking a look at, you know, their life if they're not happy. Can the propaganda be that compelling to cause someone to renounce their citizenship, and go live a life in Syria without indoor plumbing? That's really what it comes down to. And if so, then we need to huddle up together to fight these guys. Also, you know, those of us that love college sports, and everybody supports BSU or the Vandals or, you know, my team, at least on the West Coast, my West Coast team, the Oregon Ducks, which will be playing after BSU on Friday night on ESPN. I'm sitting there taking a look at this scandal out of the University of North Carolina. This is a big deal. It's been going on for quite some time, and whether it's your organization that you work for, whether it's the government, I mean, the woman who broke this case was a whistleblower named, I can't believe, Mary something or other, and she was, you know, tutoring these athletes, and I believe Bloomberg Businessweek 2 years ago did a profile on her. 60 Minutes did a profile on her as well, and they were talking about how she, you know, would go to the administration and say, these kids can't read. And we're talking about major athletes that starred in the ACC, basketball and football, and you talk about the hypocrisy of it all. They were given bogus classes in African-American studies where there was no professor, no test, and these classes specifically were designed to get these kids A's to boost up their GPAs. They were no-show classes. And if you've ever done any research, the University of North Carolina is the first or second, they go back and forth with the University of Georgia, public college in the country. Academics are at a premium there. So when we talk about reform, and we, again, love our sports, but there is a corrupting nature of this, of the big money that we're starting to see. And here we have the red flags that were ignored again and again and again. We'll discuss that coming up here at 580KIDO, but let's get the details from Lauren Green. Here, well, I guess we're not going to get the details from Lauren Green here at 580KIDO. Think about this when you send your kids to a public university and when you're cheering for your favorite sports team. Does it matter to you that these kids are student-athletes? I mean, in reality, does it matter to you? Does it make a difference to you? I think that's what we love about college sports is that we never get to see the stars get old. We never get to see our favorite person limping out their final year, unless you're RG3. But the University of North Carolina, and if it can happen there, it can pretty much happen anywhere, right? So those are the two issues we're talking about. If it happens to Canada, can it happen anywhere else? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. 6:28, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. I want to remind everybody we're at River Glen Junior High along with the Treasure Valley Math and Science Center. So please keep it here as we talk about the latest in technology. We talk about the latest innovations, and, of course, the great work going on here. But think about this. We say that that can't happen to our kids being, you know, approached by these folks on social media. And maybe it's time to get a social media police force going on, and not just talking about sexual predators, but talking about the fact that we have these people trying to influence kids. And Denver's not that far from us, as we know. More coming up next, 580KIDO. Everybody always says, oh, those junior high kids. But, you know, those people that work in junior high education love it.
Love it, yeah. I've worked at every level, so I've been a principal at elementary school, and half my career was at a high school as an AD and a teacher. So my first experience, my second year here at River Glen, and absolutely love it. It's a great age.
Well, we would worry if you said you didn't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What are the challenges? Because it seems that education is changing rapidly because of technology. Mm-hmm. What's it like to keep up with that stuff? We read about it, you know, so much. You're on the ground floor.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is that we have to recognize that our students right now, they're digital natives. So we're the ones catching up as adults.
I like that, digital natives,
yeah.
Yes.
So it is their world, and that's what we have to work to make sure that we are understanding the technology and how to integrate it and help it to improve instruction, but that it's just a tool. It's not the whole means of understanding, but it's a tool to help us engage kids in learning. So I think that's the mind shift we have to really think of. It's a tool to help us engage these kids that are digital natives, because that's their world.
Yeah, but that's tough when they have the high ground.
Yeah, absolutely. But then we also have to respect what they know. And so at the
respect what they know. I mean, I thought it's the teacher. They need to respect the teacher, right?
They do, and they can respect that. But I think you have to respect the creativity, and those kids are out there exploring and testing, and we can't be afraid to say, hey, I don't know that, but let's figure it out together.
Really?
Yeah.
So when I was going to school to be an educator, it was this new concept called cooperative education. Mm-hmm. It seems like this has gone to cooperative education in the nth degree, if you will.
Yeah. I think that's what our kids have to be prepared for, is out in the workplace. It's all about working cooperatively to problem solve for solutions. And so it's not just the kids cooperating, but it's a whole learning community. And teachers have to have the knowledge of how to facilitate learning in the classroom and how to help kids find the information they need to know in this massive information pool of the internet and all the different resources out there.
And speaking of the resources, we've been doing our own reporting and such, and you know, the idea of textbooks is a big issue. Mm-hmm. Is that a challenge for you all here, that every kid has a textbook that they take home?
Yeah, it is, and I think we're finding that there's no one textbook that can teach it all.
Right.
And with the resources that are out there and how we can get on the internet and have the ability to ascertain what is reliable information and what isn't, that's the key too. The need for textbooks, I think it's nice to have them if it meets a need, but to go straight from cover to cover, I don't think that's the best way to learn.
I'm with you, but again, you have some people that are, you know, we grew up with, we you know, you remember, on the inside cover, you'd sign it out and you'd see who had it the year before.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, again, with the technology, with the computers and everything else, would it be good if though everybody had a textbook that they could take home every night?
I don't think necessarily. I think what we have to explore is giving them access to, you know, how do we get them access to information versus a textbook? You know, way back in the day, they had scrolls and you had to convert to books. I think we're in the same kind of paradigm shift.
Okay. So, you know, will there be a day where everybody just comes in with an iPad, if you will?
I think a lot of districts are there already.
Right.
And it's... there's a lot to that, because you have to also teach students how to have citizenship out in the digital world, and how to respect that world. And, you know, that's a piece of what we're doing as a district as we transition into technology, is helping the kids to understand how do you behave and have citizenship out there, because they've been out there without those guidelines. And so that's something, like, as a school we did this first week of school, is teaching them how do you behave out there in the digital world and be respectful. So it's important.
How do you balance, and again, as the principal, you know, you're it, but how do you balance the needs of, you know, some people will come in and they have, you know, every ounce of school supplies that they need, mm-hmm. and some people, you know, will be borrowing pencils mm-hmm. Forever, mm-hmm. But making sure every kid gets that opportunity, because, you know, not every family will have a home computer or access to the web or mm-hmm. something of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, that public education is the great liberator, but... mm-hmm. you know, people have to have that access. So for the low-income kids, how do y'all help them?
Well, right now we're tackling that issue right now. And part of that is we have this amazing community that's so supportive. I feel really fortunate to work in the Boise School District, because there are so many parents that are willing to donate. They are so – like right now we're getting ready to send out in a newsletter. If you have a device that's Wi-Fi, you know, that can access the Wi-Fi and we can clear it out, we'd love to have some devices in a basket that we can have available for students that may not have the means to have a device in the classroom. So we have an amazing community that supports us incredibly, and we're very fortunate that way.
Anything else you'd like to share with us here?
No, it's we're so glad you're here. It's an amazing school. I love the diversity of the school. It's dedicated teachers, great students, and a parent population that is incredibly supportive that we're very appreciative of.
Yeah, it's very unique when you have this community, you know, not only here but in general, that, you know, you're more inclined to read on the front page of the paper somebody doing something for a nonprofit or charitable group. I've never lived in a place where that is the big thing. So we're all blessed to be here.
Absolutely. And thank you for coming and highlighting our great school.
Oh, we love to be here. Yeah. And, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. Take care.
You too.
Phone number is here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller along with Hotel Ryan as we move along. It is 6:43. Some big issues that we were covering. The issue involving, college athletics, whether or not we can trust universities to educate kids, and the idea of paying kids to play college sports. Is it time to get rid of that facade? Think about your favorite team, your favorite athlete. And again, we're blessed here when we're talking about Boise State because they're outside the big Power Five, but they've benefited by a remarkable run, a remarkable revenue generator. Revenue generators by just sitting back and beating the big guys. But it comes at a cost, and you have this story out of North Carolina where kids are actually not going to school. So is it time to just say, we'll be seeing you to the idea of the student-athlete? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And then we had another fence jumper here, which, again, underscores the issue of security in this country, and not only this country, but in Canada as well. Let's go back to this big issue involving pay-to-play. How many of us, again, will watch the big game on Friday night? How many of us will say, man, I love the school, because college athletics is a lot more pure and wholesome. And, you know, for that matter, high school athletics, big money getting into that. Let's hear from Lauren Green. Okay, we won't hear from Lauren Green at 580-KIDO. We'll work on that as we move along. But again, it begs the question here. You know, when you go to your game, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's the pros, what do you expect? And you take a look at the big money games, you take a look at these network contracts, and is it really realistic to say, hey, I'm getting a degree in computer chemical engineering and be on the CBS game of the week? I mean, really, would it be better off if we just paid these athletes? And again, cheating seems to be going on in a lot of places. In fact, I believe there was a coach during the football season that said, look, or no, it was the Big 12 commissioner that said, hey, cheating happens all the time. That's just, if you ain't cheating, you ain't winning. And is that the example and role models that we're setting for these young people today? I mean, here we are in the schools, and quite frankly, you know, is that what they should aspire to be? Or should they aspire to, again, keep working hard and the like? Let's get you to traffic now at 580-KID.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
University of North Carolina are doing damage control after an investigation finds widespread academic fraud on campus. The report by former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein shows the scandal goes back nearly two decades. It says more than 3,100 students who were enrolled at the Chapel Hill campus didn't have to attend class and received artificially inflated grades. Nearly half the students involved were athletes. Weinstein's report calling the fraud a shadow curriculum that ran from 1993 to 2011 in the former African and Afro-American Studies Department. The courses required only a research paper that was given an A or B, regardless of the quality of the work. The report saying that faculty and administration officials either missed or looked past red flags.
There we have it. Lauren Green with us at 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. A huge academic scandal. You know, what's next? Is it time to take a look at paying college athletes or creating some type of program outside the student-athlete realm? If that's going on at the University of Carolina, it could be going on in a lot of places, North Carolina. By the way, the governor's race heating up. We'll talk a little bit about that. We do want to invite you to go to our website, 580kido.com, to cast your vote. Are you going to vote for John Bujak? Steve Pankey, Butch Otter, A.J. Belukov, or pro-life. Hard to believe that we're almost a week away. We're less than 2 weeks away from the governor's race. Mitt Romney was in town last night. I'll give you my thoughts on that. But who would you rather see, Mitt Romney or Chuck Norris?
All I want to do is ask you not only to get out and vote, but to get your family, friends, and neighbors, all of you, and get them out to vote as well.
He was talking about the Texas governor's race. Now, I know a lot of people like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, Chuck Norris. Mitt Romney, Chuck Norris. Mitt Romney was in town yesterday, big speech at Zions Bank. He did a twofer. He then did a little mini pep rally with Senator Risch and Governor Otter at the Five Guys Burgers and Pub. Well, no, I guess it's just the Five Guys Burgers in front of a sack of potatoes. Yes, in front of a sack of potatoes. And Mitt Romney, very optimistic, perhaps one day will be the president of the United States, really flexing his gubernatorial or his GOP gubernatorial muscles here by really endorsing Governor Otter. And as we've talked about, and we love talking politics here, among other things at 580KIDO, is that you're going to see now the team come together. And people still hope that the conservatives will come home in this race if you're voting and a supporter of Governor Otter, where you have a Mitt Romney coming in, where you have a Jim Risch coming in, where you have other folks coming in to support the campaign. You take a look at Mr. Belukov. He has spent a lot of money. 2 million, 2.5 million people haven't seen this. And I have to believe here at 580KIDO, it is very, very close that if you have Mr. Belukov continuing to spend money, and think about this, whether you're going for Mr. Belukov or not, he's done this on his own. There's been no help from the Democrat Governors Association. There's been no help from the administration. There's been no help but he and his campaign team that have adroitly used social media. So on one hand, we have folks that believe there needs to be a change, primarily using the education issue as a vehicle of that change. And then the other folks that are perhaps are more pro-business, saying that the governor has steadied the course and righted the ship, and it's time to move on in that same direction. I find it fascinating the last couple weeks of the campaign that we have both sides going back and forth, both sides using negative ads, both sides saying that their vision is the best. What will determine this race, obviously, will be how the governor performs here in the Treasure Valley. You know, we talk about the primary. We talk about Senator Fulcher, who has endorsed the platform. We will be chasing him next week to get his thoughts, along with the governor, Mr. Belukov, and Mr. Pankey. Mr. Pankey says he's a candidate. He made the debate, but apparently his organization cannot return an email request or a phone call. So if you see Mr. Pankey, tell him we're looking for him, and we'd like to get his thoughts in a clear, concise, coherent way with the Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Tell Mr. Pankey Kevin Miller is looking for him. That'll be good. And, you know, our goal is to give you all the information on the candidates and the choices that you make will impact our lives for quite some time. It would be nice in this final debate, and again, a lot depends on the debate moderator, and we, you know, hopefully our friends at Idaho Public Television will do a good job, and they mean well, and they seem like good people. But, you know, you've got to say, what specific program do you endorse to bring jobs, real jobs, to Idaho? Let's talk about education. When we, you know, are in schools and the textbook issue comes up, you know, how are we going to get these kids textbooks like we had? We spend millions of dollars. Should the kids have a textbook every day to take home? Certainly the kids that don't have access to a tablet or a computer or the internet at home, how about that concrete learning tool? You know, getting the ROI not out of only the taxes, but the education funding that we supply. Those are legitimate questions. Now, will it turn into a shouting match? I hope not, because Idaho deserves better. Coming up, we'll have the latest on the shooting in Canada. What does this mean for security here in America? the latest on Ebola. Now perhaps somebody in California getting it. Uh-oh. And some positive news. You know, people always say, Kevin, we've got this, that, and the other. That's why we proudly do our schools program, courtesy of CapEd Credit Union. And we're here at the Treasure Valley Math and Science Center and River Glen Junior High, talking to kids and teachers and parents that make a difference here in the Treasure Valley. 6:58, let's get you to work. 6:59, Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up, we'll talk more to our friends here at River Glen Junior High and Treasure Valley Math and Science Center. Some great things going on. Keep it here. Stay informed. 580 KIDO.
Serving M.